London Calling. London Walks Connecting. London Walks here with your daily London fix. Story time, history time. They called it the Great Garden of Sleep. They call them the Magnificent Seven. And this one is Primus Inter Pares, the most magnificent of the Magnificent Seven. Yes, welcome to Highgate Cemetery. Today, May 20th, 1839, is opening day, the first day of eternity in the Great Garden of Sleep on Highgate Slopes. Now look, Highgate Cemetery is so well known, it's London's most famous cemetery, and deservedly so. Let's just do a quick run-through. Make a few connections in the manner of detectives linking up suspects and witnesses and incidents with pins and bits of string on a crime scene's diagram in a police station office, and make a solemn vow to get up there and visit or revisit that extraordinary city of the dead. So terminology first. The Romans, wisely, buried their dead outside their cities. Roads, remember, went through the countryside. Streets were urban. Roads would often be lined with monuments and tombs. Come the Anglo-Saxons, we get tumuli, burial mounds. But they were also cremating their dead, and indeed sometimes burying them in ships. Think of the magnificent Sutton Hoo find. You get into the Middle Ages, it's churchyards, graveyards. And of course, over the centuries, the silent majority, the dead, outnumbered the living. Churchyards went higher and higher. It created terrible problems, terrible health hazards. Come the 19th century, vast cemeteries on the outskirts of London seemed the way to go. Ergo, the Magnificent Seven, Kensal Green, West Norwood, Highgate, Abney Park, Brompton, Nunhead, and Tower Hamlets. Kensal Green was the first of them. It came along in 1837. Tower Hamlets brought up the rear. It arrived on the London scene in 1841. Highgate, as per my list, was third. But it's not a simple case. The oldest part, the creepiest, most interesting, and indeed most spectacular half, is the West Cemetery. It came in 1839. The East Cemetery, where Karl Marx is, for example, comes 21 years later. You can roam freely in the East Cemetery. The West Cemetery is a different story. To see the famous catacombs, for example, you have to go on a guided tour. Prime yourself, get clued up, with an initial visit to www.highgatecemetery.org. Now let's start to people the scene. As I said, on this day in history, May 20th, 1839, Highgate Cemetery, that'd be the West Cemetery, was open for business. Business wasn't long in coming. The first permanent resident was one Elizabeth Jackson. She was 36 years old. She moved to Highgate Cemetery from Golden Square in Soho. Her grave was 10 feet deep, that deep so there'd be room for relatives come the day. The family paid 3 guineas for the grave. Historical reminder here, a guinea was 21 shillings, 1 pound and 1 shilling. The extra depth of the grave, 10 feet under rather than 6 feet, cost Elizabeth's family an extra 13 shillings. Elizabeth Jackson didn't have it all, the cemetery I mean, to herself for very long. Within a year, there were 204 burials in the cemetery. Within 183 years today, there were 170,000. Highgate Cemetery is a good-sized city, a city of the dead. Two more names. Presiding at the consecration of the cemetery was Charles Blomfield, the Bishop of London. He's got a tiny cameo role in our little Venice walk, because there's a very fine street there named after him. That tiny cameo role just got fractionally bigger. Next time I'm guiding Blomfield Road in Little Venice, I'll be making the Highgate Cemetery connection. and adding that at age 8, at Barry Grammar School, Barry, that's appropriate, isn't it? Young Blomfield acquired the nickname Tit, and that he often rose at 5 a.m. to commence his studies, and that he was precocious, declaring at that tender age, "I mean to be a bishop." And one other name, Stephen Geary. He was the architect of Highgate Cemetery. He planned it, laid it out. He's going to get a mention on Thursday when I go through Dean's Yard on my old Westminster walk. That's where he was born. And we have Stephen Geary to thank for the London place name, King's Cross. In 1836, he put up a building in that neck of the woods. He topped up the building with a statue of George IV. Both the statue and the building are long gone, but from the statue we get the name King's Cross, which of course has stood the test of time. It endures. You're at King's Cross, you're of course on your way, on the Northern Line, to Highgate and the cemetery. And the today's Today in London recommendation? Our Sunday morning Highgate walk, of course. You've been listening to the Today in London History podcast, emanating from www.walks.com, home of London Walks, London's multi-award-winning walking tour company, indeed, London's only award-winning walking tour company. The walking tour company invariably dialed up by those who know. Numbered among those who know, many, many Londoners. We get more Londoners and their compatriots than we get tourists. So there's some sage, time-honored advice for you. When in London, do as Londoners do. It's a perfect fit. Savvy, discerning visitors, tack-sharp Londoners, and elite guides. Guides who are well-connected, experienced, accomplished professionals. Barristers, doctors, geologists, historians, archaeologists, paleontologists, Royal Shakespeare Company actors, let alone London Walk's Delta Squad members, the creme de la creme of Blue Badge, Westminster, and City of London professionally qualified guides. Guides who make the new familiar and the familiar new. And on that agreeable note, come then, let us go forward together on some great London walks. Good luck and good Londoning. See you tomorrow.